God is. The reason this series is coming about is because in our theme for the year, Go Deeper, we've been working a lot about identity. Who does God say we are? And learning what that is, learning to hear his voice, learning to walk in forgiveness and confession and repentance, learning to walk by the Beatitudes, and just discovering the newness and the freshness and the reality of who God says we are. But if we don't know that God is good, then how can we trust what he's saying is true? We need to know who this God is in order to receive rightly, without fear, without apprehension, God's word. So throughout this summer, we're going to just talk about God. Say, well, thought we always did that, Pastor, in church. That's what we come for. But this is a go deeper, let's talk about God. And not just about intellectual understanding. You might say, well, that, you know, what's going deeper about, you know, well, God is love and God is Lord, and okay, that's Sunday school stuff. No. I like reading biographies. I've read a biography of Tiger Woods. I've read a biography of Steph Curry. I've read biography of Abraham Lincoln. I've read a biography of Napoleon Bonaparte, but I don't know them. You follow me? We can know about God, but not know him. Going deeper is moving from the intellectual. Oh, yeah, I know about all that. I know the answers. I can raise my hand and say, yeah, here's the answer. But I want to know him. Like Paul said, I want to know Christ and the power of his resurrection. Even to know him in his sufferings, I want to know him. That's going deeper. And that's our desire this summer for this series. If you know him, you'll trust him. If you know him, you'll have joy. If you know him, you won't doubt. If you know him, you'll be secure. If you know him, you'll have peace. If you know him, your salvation will be sure. We want to know him. And the very first attribute that we want to study is God is our Father. Appropriate for Father's Day, but it would be appropriate to start with on any day. God is our Father. Here's Philippians chapter 1, verse 3 to 7. It reads this way. I thank my God every time I remember you, in all my prayers for you, for all of you, I always pray with joy because of your partnership in the gospel from the first day until now. Important phrase. Being confident of this, that he who began a good work in you will carry it on to completion until the day of Christ Jesus. It is right for me to feel this way about you since I have you in my heart. Do you notice the progress language there? And the process language. From your first day until today, you've been with me. And I've been walking with you. There's this partnership that we've had from the first day until now. And that God, what he started in that first day, will bring it to completion until we see him in eternity. That's process. And to me, that brings to mind the lifespan of a person. I remember my own children being born from the first day until now. I'm still fathering them. Now they're older, they're married, they moved out of the house. But how many fathers know a father's work is never done? It just, the season just changes. As you walk with your children, as you release them and they begin to live their lives and bear their children and make their decisions, you walk with them. And Paul is saying the same thing in a spiritual matter. As he has walked with the Philippian church from that day till present, we walk with our children and God walks with us. If anybody ever asks me what your favorite verse is, there's so many, but this one often comes to mind immediately. Because this verse has given me encouragement. Because there's been times in my almost 50 years of serving Jesus when I thought, I'm way off track. I'm scared. I don't know. I'm so far off track that God is my salvation even secure. And of course, that's a lie. But I go back to this verse and say, wait, hold on. God said he will finish his work in me. The work he started, he will complete. How many know that's encouraging? That's God's promise. He is going to do that. So no matter where you are in your Christian life, you may be in a struggle mode right now. God is saying to you, I'm going to finish my work. I'm going to walk with you. I'm never going to leave you or forsake you. I'm going to stand with you. And no matter where you are from that, I'm going to be there and I'm going to finish my work in your life. And that gives me encouragement. This title, Father, is a title God gave to himself. God calls himself Father. You see, he didn't just create randomly and go, ooh, I didn't see that one. Fatherhood is kind of cool. Maybe I'll call myself that so the people will get... No. He had the whole thing in mind already. He could have made it so that families were... It takes four parents to begat children. Or if you eat a certain food, you have a kid. Or, I mean, you get it, right? You can just like whistle a tune and bloop, there's a girl. He could have done it any way he wanted. But the reason God did the things he did, the reason he created what he did, the reason he created fathers is because that relationship and that identity that he put into that relationship reveals him. He did it in such a way so that we will be able to look at the earthly creation and go, oh, I get it. By the relationship on earth, I see what God is like. How many people love to laugh? I mean, come on, really? Some are like going, no, hate it. No, we love to laugh. We love to enjoy. You know why you love that? Because God put that there. Because he loves to laugh. When you love to be joyful, God put that in there because he loves to be joyful. When all the things that you are, God put that there so you could say, oh, I'm in his image. He likes that. Even when we see the kids and they're wiggling and they're doing what kids do, God says, yeah, I put that in there. I made them to wiggle. I made them to do what they do. And as we grow up, I made adolescents to do what they do and to question stuff because I want them to have their minds expanded and I want them to question because that's beautiful. And then we grow and we marry and we're intimate and then children are born and there's a beautiful family. And God says, yes, that's my image. Are you following me this morning? Everything that's created is done to reveal him. So we ask the question, fathers, do we look like God? Is it any wonder why there is a constant barrage of just arrows and making fun of men? Very rarely in our entertainment is the woman the buffoon. Very rarely is the teenager the one who's, you know, just the pain. Once in a while, but almost every time, almost, it's the dad who doesn't get it. It's the dad who's clueless. It's the dad who's, you know, the Homer Simpson. I don't know. It's the dad. Why? Blur the image on earth, you blur the image in heaven. Destroy the image here, you destroy the image there. Destroy marriage here, and you destroy the image there. This attack on the family, God's first institution before anything else. And what is being attacked today more than anything else? That. Because you blur that, you blur God. God made fathers to reveal his heart. God made fathers and put natural instincts in them, in us, to reveal him. In your box, on your outline, it says, God made everything the way it is to reveal who he is. Men, God made you the way you are because he wants the world to see what he's like. 1 Corinthians 8:6 is beautiful, and it says this, yet for us, there is one God, the Father, from whom all things came and for whom we live. And there is but one Lord, Jesus Christ, through whom all things came and through whom we live. You want to know what God looks like? We see Jesus. So we follow Jesus and live to become in the image of Jesus. The image of God is known. So let's talk about this fatherhood. I want us to talk about three things to you. That God loves you completely. God will guide you truthfully. And you can trust God absolutely. Would you say those three things with me? God loves you completely. God will guide you truthfully. And you can trust God absolutely. Number one, God, our Father, loves you completely. 1 John 3:1 says this, "See what love the Father has given us, that we should be called children of God, and that is what we are." Say that last phrase with me. That is what we are. Say it again. That is what we are. You're children of God. That is what we are. See what love the Father has given us? The love of God says, you're my child. You're my son, man. And the love you have for your children is just a speck. It's just a fingernail. The size of God's love for us. I've heard lately Chris Pratt, the actor, you know, I like him. I like Guardians of the Galaxy, and those movies are fun. And he's been catching some flack lately because he's confessed that he's had these fantasies in his mind of doing really, really vicious things to people that mess with his kids. And I read that and I said, "Ooh, I've done that." I've even had conversations with friends when there's maybe something in the news about a child, you know, some horrible thing happening, and having conversations with friends of like, "What would you do if that happened?" And even the most godly people I know would say, "I'd shred that person if they touch my kids." Dads, are you with me this morning? Right? I've done some really stupid things in my life because I got so angry that someone messed with my child. I'll never forget, some of you know the story, but some of you are newer. We used to have church picnics a lot. And my son Eric was maybe five, little blonde towhead, and he was my buddy, and he was just in my pocket all the time. We do lots of stuff together. And at this picnic, we were all having water fights, and the teenagers always thought that it'd be fun. "Oh, let's get Pastor Greg wet." And I'm like, "Okay, here we go." So I'd bring extra shirts, and I'd bring, you know, because I knew I was going to get it. But it was okay. It was fun as all play. But this one kid was being a little aggressive, about 15, 16 years old, and he was chasing me, and he was being aggressive, so I thought, I'm not going to let him get me. And in those days, I was a little faster than I am today. And he couldn't catch me. And I kept dodging him. And he's about maybe as far as me from where Anthony is right there. But little Eric was standing right next to him. And he had a big super soaker, you know, one of those water cannon things. And he looked at me with this devious look in his eye, and he said, and it makes me mad just today, he said, "If I can't get you, I'll get your son." And he turned and he just unloaded that cannon all over Eric's little face. And I'll tell you what, all my pastorship lost it. I was no longer pastor. I was like Die Hard. I was like Rambo. You name the superhero. And I chased that kid. And I lost my mind. I chased him down. I caught him. I grabbed his head and I rubbed his face in the ground. Then don't you ever touch my son again. And then I realized I'm at a church picnic. Oh my gosh. What are you doing? Dads, can you relate at all? You mess with the kid. Now, where did that come from? Where did that come from? I want to say not the violent part, but the part that says, "Those are my kids and I will defend them." And no one's going to, that came from God. That came from God. I will protect. I will cover. I will watch out for. I will make sure they're okay. I will even go to the cross to make sure my kids are all right. I'll give my life. I'll do whatever it takes to make sure my kids are okay. God put that there. Now we got to exert self-control, which clearly that wasn't the case. But I'm not really all that ashamed of it, because that kid never touched my son again. We love because he loves. Love exists because he is love. And perfect love casts out fear. Okay, yeah, Jesus loves me. Thanks. Okay, I know that. No, listen. What happens when God loves you? When God loves you, you're not afraid anymore. You're not afraid. Because perfect love casts out fear. What is there to fear when God loves you? What is there to worry about tomorrow when God loves you? What is there to worry about in regard to your future? What is there to worry about with your job? What is there to worry? No, because God loves you. Men, walk fearlessly because God loves you. When God loves you, you can take risks. Because what's the fear in making a mistake? Yeah, everybody makes mistakes. Just because you fail doesn't mean you're a failure. God loves you. And so you can step out. Remember teaching the kids how to jump off the side of the pool into my arms and then go to the diving board and jump off. Now I'm teaching the grandkids to do that. And at first, it's scary. And they don't want to do it. But they realize I love them and they'll jump and I catch them and so do you. And they don't go under and they don't drown. And then they want to do it all the time. And then you're sorry that you taught them because you want to rest. And then they're jumping off the edge when you're not looking. Because they don't understand that you have to look to catch them. Because they're not afraid anymore. And they're willing to take risks. And they're willing to jump. Are we willing to jump? Because we know God is there. And I'm not talking about reckless life. I'm talking about being led by the Spirit. And when the Spirit leads, we can do it. We can hear His voice and go. Because we know He loves us. And He'll be there if and when we fail. I remember one of my minister heroes is Tommy Barnett from Phoenix First Assembly. His son Matthew, who's now the Dream Center pastor, great father. And I remember Tommy telling the story about Matthew, who was a wrestler in high school. And he was some ungodly, undefeated number, like 49-0, or it may even be more than that. And Tommy said, I went to every single match, and he always won. And he remembers sitting in the bleachers saying, I hope he loses. Said, I hope he loses because I want him to know I'll love him when he loses as much as I love him when he wins. I want him to know that he can fail and he's going to be okay. That I'm going to remain, that I'm going to love him. I'd like us just to pause right now before I go on to number two. And in the spirit of just hearing from God, I'm just going to take literally seconds, but I don't believe we have to wait like hours to hear from God. If we could just bow our heads, and men and women alike, I know I'm talking, you know, at fatherhood, but God is the Father of all of us. But as we pray and just say, God, would you tell me how much you love me? Would you tell me, Lord, right now? How much you love me. And then let's just be quiet and let him talk to us. God, thank you for loving us. Thank you, Jesus, for loving me. For some of you, this might be new, and you say, well, I don't know, I think I just heard my own voice. Though that's probably God. God is speaking, and it's the words you hear in your mind when you ask him to talk to you. He loves you. Number two, God your Father will guide you truthfully. Say that with me. God our Father will guide you truthfully. John 14, 16 to 17 says this, I will ask the Father and he will give you another counselor to be with you forever. the Spirit of truth. God the Father is with you. He'll guide you truthfully. The Holy Spirit that's in you is God. No different. The word is the paraclete, one just like Jesus, just like God, but alongside you to help, the Holy Spirit that's inside. God is with you, and he will guide you. You don't have to guess. You don't have to flip a coin and wonder. He will guide you every single step of the way. There's serenity in the unknown when you know God will guide you truthfully. There's direction for every decision when you know your Father will guide you. There are principles you can live by that God will guide you with. And fathers, I hope you've taught your children. I did my best. I don't know if it was perfect. I think it wasn't. Many things I wish I'd have taught my kids that, because there's so much to teach. We can guide our children. When I turned 60, I wrote down some things and I thought, what have I learned as a 60-year-old? What have I learned in life? And I wrote down a whole bunch of stuff. And I thought, I'll just share a few of those with you today. I wrote, you know, a lot more. But these are just kind of little thoughts, principles that guide my life. And I literally practice these things. Always carry mints in your pocket. I think more people have been chased out of the kingdom by pastors with bad breath than any other thing. Always return a car you borrowed with a full tank of gas. Ask the person sitting by themselves to join you. If you're the new person, introduce yourself with confidence. Shake hands firmly, but not with something to prove. Carry two handkerchiefs at a special occasion, one for you and one for her. Make sure the clean one is for her. Remember names makes people feel important. Don't trust a self-promoter. Beware of the person who always has a better story. Always offer to help clear the table and help with the dishes. When a guest, leave the home nicer than when you found it. Be a giver. Takers wear people out. Try new things. What have you got to lose? You just might find a new passion. Don't be afraid to fail. You'll learn more things by failing. Say it now. Don't wait to say things you always wanted to say. You can change a life in 10 seconds with a single sentence. Be authentic. It's really hard work trying to convince others you're something you're not. Greet your spouse first, then your kids. Greet your family first, then your friends. Better to leave early and have people want you back than stay too late and have them wish you would leave. But don't leave too early. It makes people feel you've got something better to do. Travel. You learn a lot by experiencing life that's different than yours. Ask questions. It makes people feel important, and you'll be surprised what they know. Know what you can bend on and what you cannot bend on. There are absolutes. Look people in the eye when you talk to them. Listen to someone as if they were the only person in the room. Say hello to people with a smile. It really freaks strangers out. Ask for help. It gives others value. But don't ask the same person too often. They may start to resent you. Read a lot. Love people's kids, and they will love you. Tell the truth. Managing lies is like trying to keep many plates spinning at once. Trust must be earned. Keep your word. Show up on time and do what you said you would do. Those are just some of the things that I wrote down when I turned 60. And I live by those and many more. You know, God has some principles. If you read his word, you know what? There are hundreds and even thousands of principles in God's word. Some of them are the law of sowing and reaping. If you sow generously, you'll reap generously. With your time, your money, your love. God's economy works. You can test him. Seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer, with thanksgiving, make your requests known to God, and the peace of God that surpasses understanding will guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Cast all your cares on him, for he cares for you. Seek and you will find. If you confess your sins, he is faithful and just and will forgive your sins and cleanse you from all unrighteousness. Pray without ceasing, and on and on and on and on. Church, God is our Father, and He'll guide you. He'll guide you with His Word. He'll guide you in your spirit. He'll guide you in fellowship and in the community. God is a Father, and He wants to show you which way to go. He will guide you truthfully, and He'll never leave you or forsake you. Let's pause right now. Some of you may be in a time of flux, a time of decision, and you have been having a hard time hearing God's voice as far as direction. Let's pause right now and say, God, what do you want me to do? What do you want me to do? And then listen to Him. And maybe He'll give you a word now, but maybe you'll need to press in and you need to ask this question every day and throughout the day. God, what do you want me to do? And then listen for His voice. So let's take a moment and do that right now. Say, God, You're my guide, I believe, and I want You to guide me. You are the Spirit of truth. What do You want me to know? What do You want me to do? Let's pause and listen right now. God, thank You that You're our guide. And I thank You that I believe You've spoken to people this morning, whether online and at home or here. You are the God who loves to talk to us. So thank You, Lord, for the answers now, and thank You for the ones that will come as we press in. Amen. So God will love you completely. He will what? He will. That's your cue. He will love you completely. Let's try it again. I think I messed you up. First one, God will love you completely. Two, God will guide you truthfully. And number three, your Father, you can trust Him absolutely. Here's what John 14 says, and it's a whole big chunk of scripture, 1-9, but a portion says, do not let your hearts be troubled. Trust in God. Trust also in Me. Anyone who has seen Me has seen the Father. You want to know what the Father looks like? Look at Jesus. If you're a new Christian today and you're kind of, you know, just figuring it out, read Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John first. Invest your time in those four books. Find out what Jesus does. What does He say? How does He treat people? Who is this man? Because that's what God is. If you've seen Jesus, you've seen the Father. So study that and invest yourself in those Gospels. I've heard this lately and I really like it. There is one man in the world who wants you to be better than him, and that's your dad. And that's true. I want my kids to be better than me. When it comes to God, God wants me to be like Him, because there's like no way to be better because He's the best. But He wants us to be conformed to His likeness. That's the whole goal of Christianity, is to become like Christ. So if we want to know Him, we see God. You can trust this God. Probably some of my greatest regrets were when I've thought that I've broken the trust of my kids. And I don't know if there's been any really egregious things, but little ones. Like I can't remember now if it was Laura or Audrey. I think it was both of them. That it was my day to pick them up and I forgot. And they've been standing out at the school waiting for dad to come pick them up. And everybody's gone. And all the parents have come like, where's my parent? And like, oh no, I lost track of time. I'd jump in the car and go pick them up. But just that little breach of trust. So that next time, will he come? Then you got to rebuild that by being consistent. Jesus said, don't let your hearts be troubled. That's a statement to us. Don't let it happen. Don't let your heart be troubled. How do we not let our heart be troubled? By focusing on the one we can trust. He will guide me. He loves me. He went to the cross, so He'll do everything. That one I can trust. So why should I let my heart be troubled when I know I have that God? And there's lots of trouble. There's money trouble, there's marriage trouble, there's work trouble, there's friend trouble, there's time trouble, there's health trouble, there's kid trouble, there's school trouble. Trouble is everywhere. You can find trouble. You can even borrow trouble. I don't know why we would do that. But there's trouble all over the place. And Jesus says, don't let it happen to you. Don't let it happen. Seek first the kingdom of God. Don't worry about tomorrow. Tomorrow's enough trouble of its own. Worry about now. Don't worry about now. Focus on now. Trust me. Trust me. Trust me. Trust me. Don't let your heart be troubled. Instead, trust God. His promises are true. He'll guide you. Trust God. His love is powerful. You can stay there and you can be with him. He'll never leave you. He'll never forsake you. Seek him daily. Go deeper. Hunger more. Desire eagerly. Seek continually. Pray fervently. Read ravenously. Know him. And when you know him, you can trust him. When the kids were little, I used to love to toss them in the air. And they knew I would always catch them. It was so much fun. We had a fence around our backyard that was higher than my head. And our neighbors would always freak out when they saw a little child sail above the fence line and then come back down. And the sail of little kid go, ah! But they were smiling and laughing. I'm not sure Sandra thought I would catch them every time. As she worried about that, I never dropped them. I'm human, I might have, but I didn't. Here's what I know. God will never drop you. You might feel like it. Like, whoa, life is crazy. Whoa, I don't know if I can make it. Oh, I don't know. Trouble everywhere, like Peter on the water. Oh, I don't know. And focus. Focus. Peter, abundant life, fathers, men and women, teenagers, keep your eyes focused. Trust God. When you trust God, you walk above the trouble. He's trustworthy. He's got you. And even when we fall, he gets right there and he pulls us up. He says, come on, let's try again. Let's do it again. If you're having trouble trusting God, let's take a moment right now and renew that. Fathers, you might be nervous. Maybe you're looking at a layoff. Maybe you're looking at a surgery. Maybe you're looking at, going to be a new dad. Maybe there's trouble with your marriage. You don't know what to do. Whatever the trouble might be, let's pause right now and say, God, I'm not going to let my heart be troubled. I'm going to trust you because you're my guide. You love me because you're my father. You're my father. Can we pause right now and just pray that? Let's listen to God and let's let him just bathe us in trust. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. We can trust you, Jesus. We can trust you. I don't know about you, but let's just get real right now. Let's just get personal. As I heard, I think it was this little boy. Did you hear him as we prayed? Just say, Daddy. Daddy. The word says that we cry, Abba, Father. Abba means Daddy. As you pray each day, be like him. Be like him. And just kneel before your Father and say, Daddy. I know you love me. I know you'll guide me. And I'm going to trust you. Pastor Sean, would you come? We're going to close up. I just want to pray for us this morning. Matthew 7:11 says, if you know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father in heaven give good gifts to those who ask him? So I know on Father's Day that you probably have lunch plans. I do. But can we pause just for a moment? And can we just sit in his presence and just quietly say, Daddy, I receive your love completely. I know you'll guide me truthfully. And I can trust you absolutely. There's some questions on the screen that if you're kind of wrestling still, as we linger, ask those questions of God and then listen. Listen. I'm finding in my life right now that my prayer is more listening than talking. Why would I talk when God's the one that's got the answers? So let's pause together. And if you've got to go, feel free to do that. And enjoy. Enjoy your Father's Day. Enjoy your family. If you have special needs, elders will be at the two sides of the platform and you can come and you can pray for something specific. But let's linger in his presence and let's listen and allow him to touch our lives. Allow him to bathe us in his love and his truth and his trust. God bless you today on your Father's Day. Dads, I hope you're blessed. And let's just allow him to touch us. Let's linger in his presence.
And your name, there is victory. Oh, praise will rise to Christ our King. In your name, in your name, there's victory.
That you speak to us. You desire to speak to us. Every time we want to listen, I pray, God, you help us to understand and recognize your voice, that it can often sound like ours because Christ is in us. So why wouldn't it? We thank you, Lord, for what you're saying to us, and I pray, God, that we can go from this place knowing more about who you are, so that we can become changed, begin to grow, and our identities in you may be glorified, Father, on this Father's Day, as we go from this place and honor you, as we love those around us. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. Amen.